Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, July 15th, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 40, the second paragraph, Let Him Tell You About It. We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Shelley E. will be reading the 12 steps, Darian K. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Janice P.M., Jordan L., and Kathy Jo P. The share ID for Sunday, July 14th, the special edition, is 13,152. That's 13152. And for this morning's July 15th, 7 a.m. meeting, Eastern Time, is 13,153. 13153. Our newcomer greeter for today is Kaylee R., and Reggio will be making announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals, and I think someone's unmuted, so if you could check that, who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And if you could all please make sure your line is muted, I'll now ask Shelley E. to read the 12 steps, please.
Hi, Kathleen. Sorry. Thank you for your service. Good morning. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in northern Michigan. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Number seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
And thank you, Shelley E. Darian K., would you read the 12 traditions, please? Darian, can you press star 1 to unmute?
Hi there. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority. A loving God as may express Himself and our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, I pass.
And thank you, Darian Kay. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 40, the second paragraph, which begins with "Let him tell you about it." We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. So good morning, Janice PM. If you could get us started, please.
My pleasure. Good morning to you, Kathleen O. My name is Janice PM. And I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Let him tell you about it. I was much impressed with what you fellows said about alcoholism, and I frankly did not believe it would be possible for me to drink again. I rather appreciated your ideas about the subtle insanity which precedes the first drink, but I was confident it could not happen to me after what I had learned. I reasoned I was not so far advanced as most of you fellows, that I had been usually successful in licking my other personal problems, and that I would therefore be successful where you men failed. I felt I had every right to be self-confident, that it would be only a matter of exercising my willpower and keeping on guard. Boy, is that me, I. Is that, can I identify? So these recovered alcoholics are talking to Fred, and he, they didn't see him for a while. But when they did, let him tell you about it. You know, it's like when I have a sponsor and they're saying, well, this is what happened to me when I picked up all the excuses, all the reasons, all the justifications. So now he says, there's a lot of I's in here, so it's the hardest thing to put down. The food, if that's your problem, donuts, and ego. So he says, I was much impressed. I frankly didn't believe it, and that's true, because my pride, Janice could be Fred. I'm talking from my own experience. I truly believed, especially when I said so, that it would be impossible for me to eat again. Why? Because I knew the problem. I knew the allergy. I never knew that before, but once I knew this self-knowledge, I said, I'm all set. you know. But they did tell me about a little subtle insanity, but, you know, of course, my reasoning would be it's not going to happen to me because I'm a little bit more, you know, smarter, and I can handle that. Well, of course, that subtlety, that's cunning, that's sneaky, this disease of mine, that's very sneaky. It comes in sideways. And it preceded the first drink. And it says, I was so confident. I was so self-reliant on what? Myself. That this wouldn't happen again to me. After all, I thought, as I reasoned my mind, I thought that, gee, I was not so far advanced as you people. I wasn't 100 pounds or overweight, or I didn't have diabetes yet, or I didn't do those things you did. So I was comparing. And so I felt I had every right, entitlement, to be self-confident that it would only be a matter of, you know, just maybe trying harder and a little bit more willpower and keeping on my guard, watching it. Well, of course, we know that this is not acceptable because I didn't have that power to begin with. You know, I was powerless. That's what it meant. I couldn't manage my life by me. That's why I'm here. But however, when I recovered, I became successful. Was it my success? No, I thought it was. Oh, you know, here I am. Ha, ha, ha. No, it's not my success, ladies and gentlemen. It's God's success, because if I'm powerless, which is the first step says I can't, then I couldn't do it on my own human power. So I went through the steps, and that power came through. Then I became a success. For one day, the obsession was removed, and I didn't have to pick up the drink, the food. Yeah, and I will pass on that. Thank you.
And thank you so much, Janice PM, for getting us started so beautifully. Okay, we are on page 40, the second paragraph, which begins, "Let him tell you about it." So who would like to share on that paragraph?
Irene.
Wait a minute. Freedom H.
Did you get Irene B?
I got Irene B and Freedom H.
John
Patty
K.
P.
Okay, hold on. Stop. Everybody stop. A man came in first. Who is that?
John.
John K?
Yep.
And then a lady came in after John. Who is that?
Patty T.
Patty T. Okay.
O-H.
Mo H.
Reggie O.
And Reggie.
Freedom
O.
Okay,
let's stop. Freedom, I already have you.
Sorry.
Let's stop there. So I have Irene B, Freedom H, John K, Patty T, Mo H, and Reggie O. That's a great lineup. So go ahead. If everyone could mute their phone, please, except Irene B. Go ahead, Irene.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I am Irene B, a recovering bulimic from Louisiana. I really, really love studying this chapter and, you know, which one of us was not full of pride and self-reliance. And over time, this disease taught us that all of our willpower, all of our knowledge, all of our abilities were totally ineffective when it came to our illness, when it came to our addiction. We were completely powerless. We did not have a source to a power to help us overcome this. Self-knowledge was nice, helpful, but completely insufficient to help us overcome our self-reliance, our self-will. We think that with willpower and their determination, with our confidence, that we can overcome this, that we can do it on our own. And yet, time and again, it's proven that no, not at all. You know, what I see here is a man completely in self-reliance. No understanding of his source of power. No surrender whatsoever. Totally edging God out because he can do it. He's self-sufficient. He doesn't need God. I have learned that God is my one and only one true source, and that this program helps me to get closer to him as he reveals himself, his true self, to me personally. And I'm thankful for all of you who provide service and everybody who shares their experience, strength, and hope, because there is hope with God. There is no hope in me. I know that. I've learned that the hard way. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for listening.
And thank you, Irene B. Okay, Freedom H., it is your turn, followed by John K.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for everyone who does service. I'm very grateful, OA member. My biggest enemy is my mind. It's that gremlin, that thing that's in me telling me, that's deceiving me, that's tricking me, that's trying to fool me into thinking that I have any power over anything or that I can do it on my own. I have to surrender my mind and my will to God on a minute-by-minute basis. Otherwise, my ego kicks in. I guess that's the enemy, is my ego within. Trying to tell me that, oh, I got this, I can do this. Yeah, I'll take one step and fall flat on my face and be slowly beating myself up of failure if I even think that I can do this on my own. I need the support groups. I need the readings. I need the higher powers' help and strength. I cannot do this on my own. And I, you know, if things aren't going fast enough, I want to just say, oh, I might as well just, you know, hang it up and do. No, I have to be patient. I have to be patient just because things aren't going my way. I just got to trust in the higher power that this didn't, you know, I didn't get this way overnight. This, you know, this took years of abuse and of bad choices to get this way. And so now I have to be patient with myself. I have to be patient that it's going to take time to heal. It's going to take time to learn a new way. And that it is possible, because my mind wants to say, oh, you can't do this. Oh, yes, I can do this. I do all things through my higher power. I can do all things through this program. And I know that's true, because I've seen it. I've seen miracles already. I've seen things happen that there's no way they should have happened, and they did. So I know it's real. I know it's true. And I just appreciate everyone here. And, yeah, I can't be ego confident in my own. I just can't do that. There's no way that I would succeed at anything with that attitude. I really have to watch my attitude. I really do. I need to surrender my attitude, my mind, my everything to the higher power, to God. The day that I think I can just do whatever I want, whenever I want, it's never going to happen. And if it happens, it's going to be a complete disaster. So anyhow, Amir, thank you so much for letting me share.
And thank you, Freedom H. Okay, John K., it's your turn, followed by Patty T.
Thank you. Good morning. This is John Kiernan, recovered compulsive eater in Los Angeles. You know, I have a cartoon up on my wall, and it shows two guys standing in front of a bar. And the first panel, the guy says, you know, I haven't had a drink in 10 years. And then the second panel, the guy says, not even a small one? And then the third one, it says, the first guy says, well, if you insist. You know, in other words, it's always going to be that close. You know, it's always going to be that close. I know that happened to me. When I came in, OA was the answer. Oh, my God. My whole life, I couldn't understand it. Now I know I'm a compulsive eater. All I got to do is follow my food plan, and I stop going to meetings because I got it. This is all I got to do. Well, I don't have to tell you how that ended up, you know, with me, you know, pounding my fist on the bar, asking how it happened again. You know, I also love where he says, I I had usually been successful in licking my other personal problems. Well, that was true for me too, and it's true for a lot of us. We're very high functioning, a lot of us. We handle a lot of problems in our lives with our brains. But here's the key, they were all external problems. When it involved the problem with my thinker, I'm going to need somebody else's thinker to help me because I drove the car in the ditch and it's time for me to get out from behind the wheel, you know? So I used to hear Marcy say in our big book studies, you can't fix a broken brain with a broken brain. And, you know, when I first was reading more about alcoholism for years, I just saw these examples and said, oh, he's just reiterating to make sure we get the idea. But there are three definite different kinds of insanity, you know? Jim in the Milk is that crazy delusional thinking that works for a little while. The jaywalker is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. But Fred's is the most virulent one because it's talking about that strange mental blank spot. And that's really dangerous, you know. The whole idea of, you know, I got it now. I understand. Okay, I understand what I got to do. Well, you know, I've known a lot of people in OA who either said that or had that kind of attitude. And guess what? They're not here anymore. You know, they're not around. And I'm talking sometimes people with 1, 2, 3 years of program of abstinence. And, you know, the guys, men and women I look up to here in L.A. who've got long-term sobriety, they're doing the same thing they did the first few days because that's what you do, you know. OE doesn't help us, you know, develop some kind of abstinence muscle that we'll be able to use when the disease hits. I don't get extra abilities to stay away from things when that mental blank spot hits. A blank spot is a blank spot. And, you know, and at the end of the day, you know, the disease sees no sobriety. I don't care if I've got 24 years abstinence. You know, it's like I always say, if I've got 24 and Carol's got 40 and other people have 1 or 2, we're all just like people climbing up the outside of the Empire State Building. It doesn't matter how high we are, Alinda, we're all going to drop. And the higher we are, the bigger the splash. And I'll just end with, there's a great line from the Revolutionary War that said, the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. And to me, the price of abstinence is eternal vigilance. And with that, I pass.
And thank you, John Kay. Funny cartoon. Okay, Patty T., you're up next, followed by Mo H.
Hi, everybody. Can you hear me, Kathleen?
Yes, I can, Patty.
Oh, great. Hi, everybody. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful to be here. It's Patty T. from Southern California, recovered today by the grace of God. So what strikes me here is a couple of things. First of all, I see the eyes glaringly and the my, you know, the my and the eyes. There's 10 eyes and 2 my's. And that's all me to a T. That this is my story right here. And then the other thing I see is 3 very subtle ways of identifying out with what you fellows said about alcoholism. I rather appreciated your ideas and therefore be successful where you men failed. That's what the ego does for me. It tells me that I can do better than you, even though I can see with my eyes demonstrable differences in you and me. I can see your serenity and joy and acceptance of self, whereas I'm still pitching and writhing in my lack of all that. So, yeah, I just wanted to point that out for myself today so that I... You know, my willpower and keeping on guard, yeah, keeping on guard, yeah, yeah. The thing is that when I try to keep on guard, I get tired. I need a break, but there's nobody to take over when I'm in self-reliance. But when I'm God-centered and I'm taking my third step and I'm turning it over, a lovely friend in my face-to-face meeting said yesterday, all I have to do is the footwork. God does the hard stuff. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Patty T. So Mo H., it is your turn, followed by Reggie O.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning, Kathleen. Thanks for your service and all of those on the line. Welcome to newcomers. So I was looking at some of my notes here, and at the beginning, I have, this chapter should be labeled more about the mental obsession or more about the mental twist, because I believe that's what this whole chapter is about, is telling me what goes on in my mind before I pick up. And I'm totally abstinent before I pick up. But my mind tells me that that whatever substance, food, is going to make me feel better. And it can drive me insane. So I agree with everyone with all the I's. I. Yes, so I'm in charge when I pick up. I'm totally blanking God out. But I had every right to be self-confident that I would be only, it would only be a matter of exercising my own willpower and keeping on guard. And I did that for years with diets, and I did that for years in program, because I used program as a diet club with group support, that I could do this. I could do this. So that's my defensive statement. I'm being defensive when I do it myself. But I've found out that I cannot do it myself at all. I need a higher power. My defense comes from that higher power, which is greater than me, anything that's greater than me. So I move from the self-centeredness existence to an other-centered existence or God-centered existence daily, on a daily basis, because if I pick up, I'm gone. I'm gone instantly, and I've tried it. And I thank God, by the grace of God, I've got 3.5 years of very clean, sober abstinence, and grateful for that, because I'm going through some difficult times now, and if I wasn't abstinent, I would be a crazy lady and telling everybody what to do and how to do it. And I really am finding out through this situation that I heard the other day that it's not, here I go with my mental blank spot again. I can't remember what it is. It's not events. It's lessons that I can learn. And I am learning lessons, a lot of lessons of how powerless I am, that I am not in charge. And so when I pick up that bite, I lose all power connected to God. So I think with that, I'll pass. Thank you, Kathleen.
And thank you, Mo H. Okay, before we take Reggie, just a reminder, we are on page 40, the second paragraph that begins with "Let him tell you about it," and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph only. And after Reggie O, I'll be taking some more names, so be ready for that. And Reggie O, go right ahead, please.
Yay, good morning, Kathleen. Thanks so much for your service and everybody on the line this morning. I love hearing what you all are sharing. The subtle insanity which precedes the first drink. You know, this is talking about the second part, you know, the second part of step one, which is the compulsion, the obsession, you know, that subtle insanity of the mind. And in some respects, the first part actually of the allergy, which means there are certain things that I'm allergic to, and once I put them into my body, that I'm going to have a reaction either immediately or 3 days from now that's going to send me over the edge into compulsive eating again. You know, it's always good for me to remember that I like to go here, but the first part of the first step is getting abstinent and looking for us. It's not so easy to say, I'm going to put down my alcohol. You know, it's like, I've got to put down everything that I eat compulsively or that I negotiate, or all the compulsive eating behaviors that lead me to food. So it's not a simple thing, you know. It really, as we say, you know, it requires that. I've got to be serious here, and I've got to be willing, because I can't really work the rest of the steps if I don't have the clarity that comes and the honesty that comes with putting down that food. That's been a long and hard lesson for me, you know. And then the subtle insanity. If I have the food down, then the subtle insanity is the part that the rest of the steps are designed to to take away. That subtle insanity, you know, that says this time it's going to be okay, that says to me, you know, after 1,000 times of doing the same thing or something similar, this time it's going to be different, or with no conscious thought whatsoever, beginning, you know, picking up the first bite. There are so many ways, or if I eat it with this group who, you know, are really great, healthy eaters, then this time it will be okay. Or, you know, it's a subtle insanity. And, you know, the disease has been described as cunning, baffling, and powerful. And that means, you know, it has every trick in the book. And when we learn 10, it comes up with an 11th or a 12th one, which is why, you know, the psychic change that we're promised from working the steps is so significant, you know. And that is a higher powered, that is a God-powered change in which we are different. We are different, you know, and something bigger, you know, than my ego, bigger than myself, has removed that insanity one day at a time. And for some reason, you know, it's not removed forever. It's like, and I think in many respects, that's a gift. I consider it a gift because I have to keep working this thing. I have to keep relying on that amazing, wonderful power that can relieve this insanity. And working these steps as a way of life, which is actually, I haven't seen anything out there like that that works for this kind of an illness. So very grateful for it. Willpower is of no avail when it comes to the, you know, the disease of addiction. So I'll pass with that. Thanks.
Thank you, Reggie O. All right. Who else would like to share on the second paragraph on page 40?
Kara L.
Anisha F.
Deborah J.
Okay, wait. There's a really bad background noise and everyone's coming in at once. I think I heard, was it Tara L?
Yep, Tara L.
Okay,
Jean
and then someone came in with the initial S.
Electra S.
Alexa.
Electra.
Okay, and then Jean J and who else?
Sherry KB.
Who came in after Sherry KB?
Deborah
G. We had a lot of background. Deborah G. And can you guys, if you've said your name, mute maybe, because there's a lot of racket back there. Okay, and I think I can take one more.
Miriam Rivka.
Miriam Rivka, okay. Okay, so I have Tara L., Alexa S., Jean J., Sherry KB., Deborah G., and Miriam Rivka. So go ahead. Is it Kara or Tara?
Kara with a K.
With a K. Okay, Kara, go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Kara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Oh, I'm so happy to be on the line with my fellows this morning and identifying in with everything that I've heard so far this morning. This paragraph, yeah, the eyes and the self-will and the right to be self-confident. How many times did I use my own will and diet and lost weight? For my wedding, I got really thin, and I remember right after my wedding, my mom's like, well, you might want to wait a little bit before you make that, you know, I had some cloth, make that dress. And I was like, why? I'm going to be this thin forever. Laughing, laughing, laughing. Of course, that didn't happen, but I always had that hubris that, oh, yeah, I can do this, until the day I couldn't. And to the day that I got up and ate my diet breakfast and then proceeded to eat the rest of the day and couldn't stop and got up the next day and the next day and did the same thing. And until I was completely demoralized and my life was totally unmanageable. And it is that beauty of realizing that my power, like I've heard on the lines before, is like battery pack. There is some. You know, however, it's limited and it will run out. And when it does, what am I going to do? And that's when, you know, I had to work the steps and I had to work the steps. I've worked the steps several times. This last time, for some reason, I plugged right into the wall, right into the power, right into my higher power. And something has changed in me that I now know that it's not up to me anymore. I was still working, was very compliant. over the years in OA and working the steps and doing what was told, I've never had that. I never plugged in. And this last time, hopefully, I plugged in. And today I know that when I'm miserable and upset, it's me. I'm doing it. I'm using my own will. And when I write out a 10-step, I do that 4 through 12, and I write it out, and I share it with a fellow, and I ask my higher power for help, and I listen, and I clear my path. My only job today, the only thing I can do today, is keep my path clear to my higher power. And how I do that is working with others, is continually throughout the day asking my higher power's opinion. I joke that my higher power has got a really strong Al-Anon program because I don't get an opinion unless it's asked for. So I need to ask for those opinions all day long. God, what should I have for breakfast? Should I have this and this? God, what should I wear today? God, should I turn right or left when I'm out for my walk? Should I go straight? What should I do, God? And then practice listening, because I have to practice throughout the day reaching towards my higher power, asking my higher power's opinion on everything, and asking for intuition, an inspiring thought, or a decision. Asking that my mind be, you know, directed and away from self-pity, dishonesty, and self-will. So with that, I will pass. Thank you, everyone.
And thank you, Kara L. So Alexa S., you're up next, followed by Jean J.
Good morning, Electra S., recovered bulimic compulsive overeater in Santa Cruz, California. Thank you so much for your service this morning. This is such a beautiful story about Fred, who I resonate with so well. And, you know, in this paragraph, we talk about self-knowledge, and knowledge is power. And I truly believe that in every day of my life, that knowledge is power. But with this disease, the cunning and baffling portion of my disease, self-knowledge is incredibly dangerous. Self-knowledge turns into incredible ego and feeling that I can do anything on my own. And with this disease, I can't. And if I don't arrest it daily to God and turn it over, I'm back in the disease. And when I'm back in the disease, that means I'm not serving others, I'm not present with my family, and I'm absent, just like Fred, who disappears when he's in the disease. That ego of, I've got this. And, you know, when I was in my 20s and I had what I thought was recovery, what I had was just a gift of abstinence. And although that's powerful in some aspects, it's not free and it's not spiritual, and I'm not giving back to others. And this program is about action, and I can be angry to have to work this program every day. And I often ask my sponsor, every day I have to work this program. And like a fellow of mine told me, this is our medicine. And it's a beautiful medicine, because the fellows that I've met in this program are such an act of love and compassion and a gift to be able to serve others. And that's what I ask God every morning, is how can I serve others? Not just for my own recovery, but for my ability to help somebody else, and maybe not even somebody else with this disease, maybe just a stranger on the street. But I know that that's what God has given me, and that's such an act of serenity and love. And I'm just so grateful for the 12 steps and for this book, and for those of you on this line who share every day and who show up every morning, whether on the phone live or just listening in. So for those of you new on the phone line, you know, I ask that you go on the website and look up names and make outreach calls. And with that, I pass. I'm very grateful. Thank you for your service.
And thank you, Alexa S. So Jean J., you're up next, followed by Sherry KB.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. Jean J. in Portland, Oregon. So I don't know. I relate to all the shares here this morning. Everyone got covered this paragraph. I guess the only thing I have to add is, you know, why? Why do we as addicts, have I as an addict, kept trying to run the show here and thinking that, yes, but, and reading this stuff and going, yes, but, The thing is that mechanism kept me safe all these years, or at least at the beginning, or gave me a semblance of the only safety I've ever known in a chaotic world and in my chaotic mind and life. And so now to kind of go, well, thanks very much for helping out, but please step aside, is just a bit much for her, has been. And so I've spent a lot of years here beating my head against the wall. I guess I can come back to a tough love kind of thing of, you know, I really appreciate your goodwill, but we're going to need to have some good orderly direction here from a higher power, from a power outside ourselves here, Jean. And let's experiment and see if it works. And I've been doing that. The last 6 months, there's been turning around for me, my understanding of the program. And I think as long as my little kid inside knows that she's still welcome and that she's appreciated, that she's a little more willing to go the distance. And increasingly, I'm getting glimpses of peace, the peace that comes from good orderly direction. But it's couched in a kindness and a tenderness. And before, I always tried to beat it into myself. Of course I would. So that seems to be what's attractive here lately in my corner of the world of addiction. And thanks, everyone. Always happy to visit on the phone and be part of the sisterhood and the brotherhood here. And I will pass.
Thank you, Jean K. Or Jean J, sorry. Sherry KB, you're up next, followed by Deborah G.
Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service, Kathleen O, and everybody on the line and Team Monday. You know, I was thinking, too, what else could I say that hasn't been already said? And after listening to everybody, and what comes to mind to me is this is all about the ego. You know, there was an old saying back in the day, ego stands for edging God out. And this is all about ego. There are 11 eyes in this one paragraph. There's a lot about self-knowledge. There's a lot about I can do this on my own. It's a lot about identifying out. It's a lot about I'm not as bad as you. It's a lot about I've done everything else. I can figure out everything else. There's no problem with this. I can figure it out myself. Thank you very much. It's a lot about white knuckling, because at the end it says, matter of exercising my willpower and keeping on guard. And, you know, if I'm turning my will and my life over to my higher power every day, my higher power's got this for me. I don't have to worry about I've got this, because my higher power's taking care of me. I'm turning my will and my life every day, a lot of times throughout the day, excuse me, over to my higher power. And so, but this guy, you know, didn't. It's all about him. It's all about his ego. And that's where I used to be. And, you know, he's still white-knuckling it, because I know that being abstinent, you know, happily and contently and neutral around the food has never been something I've had when I was in my own ego and trying to do it my way. I was always on guard. I was always watching it. Had some self-pity evolved in there, because I wanted, why couldn't I have what you guys had? But since I've been absent happily and contently, I don't feel that way. I'm not saying that sometimes it doesn't come up, because people who say, you know, oh, you know, I never think about food ever and this, that, and the other, I want to say, well, if you have a perfect, you know, absence, you must be a perfect liar, because it's just no way. We're human beings. We're going to have feelings that come up. The difference is that I know I can turn around and ask my higher power for help. I know I can call somebody and just tell them, you know, I'm having some food thoughts. But But, you know, but they go away. They don't last. Whereas before, you know, always having to be on guard, how exhausting is that? Because that's where I was, and it is all about identifying out, you know, I'm different than you guys. I didn't have to do this. I've got this. And I don't have anything without my higher power, and with that I pass. Thank you.
You are so good, Sherry KB, about being right on the button there. Okay, thank you so much. And Deborah G., you're up next, followed by Miriam Rifka H. Go ahead, Deborah G.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, compulsive overeater. And thank you so much for your service and all the shares, 12-stepping me today. And came to mind is, and I'm reminded from my sponsor, is to protect my serenity. Because when I have my serenity, I'm not looking for any ease and comfort. And I know that when I do that third step prayer and rest in it and rely on it, you know, it just gets, it's my thinking some, a lot of times. Not so much my words sometimes. Sometimes it's just my thinking where it starts. And I know today I'm learning the experience of that power in step two and seeing how that power in step two has worked in my life and loves me and wants my highest good and greatest joy, you know, more than I could ever imagine, and to trust, surrender and trust. And I love, my sponsor tells me if I can take any situation, like for instance at work, I did my part. I said what I could, and now I need to surrender the results. And what I can do is whatever's going on in my head, because it's my head a lot of times, is run it through the serenity prayer, like a washing machine. And, you know, really keeping that perspective so I can stay and just feel and relax in that presence, relax in the experience of just being in this moment in my serenity. I'm really grateful for this program. Thank you all.
Thank you, Deborah G. Miriam Rifka H., it's your turn, and if you could take us out, please.
Thanks so much, Kathleen. Thanks for your service, and thank you for this opportunity. It's Miriam Rifka H. in New Jersey, recovered compulsive eater, and I just wanted to jump in here and share my experience. You know what? I'm so sorry, Kathleen. I'm going to actually pass and give someone else that time. Sorry, something came up.
Okay. Would anyone like to take about a 2-minute share?
This is Julie E.B.
Go ahead, Julie E.B., about a little under 2 minutes. Go ahead.
A few minutes ago, and this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado. A few minutes ago, I thought, okay, if a last-minute share comes up, I should share. So there you go. Would have loved to hear that. You know, this section of the big book is so good at portraying how the voice of, and you know, folks have mentioned it before, but the voice of my disease is my voice. It's all that self-talk that I do. So it doesn't sound foreign. It doesn't sound mean. People who say to stop eating, like nutritionists and doctors, and gosh, I had 6 medical specialists. Not all of them said to stop eating. They just said, oh, even losing 10 pounds would help, you know, 2 spinal surgeries later. Now I can get up and move at ease. And those voices sound harsh, like get away from your what you depend on for comfort and ease, but the voice of my disease is so reasonable, you know, this is, I can handle this, I've got this under control, and the truth is that that's how I got out of my childhood, is by handling things, handling high stress, getting it out of getting things under control, perfectionism, achievement, but as Bill's story says, it became a boomerang that came back. And I think Fred's voice here is very much reminding us of that, that some of the things that got us where we are today, independence, self-reliance, and this just voice in our head, okay, it's another day. Yeah, you can do this. some of the lines, and I'm not going back too much to the lines strictly in just this, but all of Fred's story. I have this. And we don't realize what a block it is for our disease. So reach out today and hear some other voices. Thanks for letting me share. And I pass.
And thank you so much, Julie E.B., and sorry to cut you short there. Okay, so thank you, everyone who shared this morning. A special thanks to Team Monday, Shelley E., Darian K., Janice P.M., Jordan L., Kathy Jo P., Kaylee R., and Reggie O. Thank you for all doing service this morning. And thank you, excuse me, everyone for being on the line this morning with us. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Jordan L., would you please read A Vision for You?
Good morning, Kathleen. My name is Jordan L. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Crested Butte, Colorado. This is page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you